To thee be the glory, to thee be the honor, all blessings and praises to the To the one who purchased us, to the one who shed his blood to take our sins away, we sing praises, angels singing, creatures shouting, worthy is the Lamb of God. Hearts are playing, elders praying, worthy is the Lamb of God. Angels singing, creatures shouting, worthy is the Lamb of God. Harps are playing, elders praying, worthy is the Lamb of God. On the throne, to the one who takes the scroll, all to him alone we sing praises. To the one who purchased us, to the one who shed his blood to take our sins away, we sing praises. Angels singing, creatures shouting, worthy is the Lamb of God. Harps are playing, elders praying, worthy
is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Hallelujah, he is risen. Hallelujah, he is risen. Hallelujah.
Everybody. Happy Easter to all of you. It is a wonderful day for us to be able to gather together, and I thank you for being here. If you're joining us via live stream, welcome to you as well. Happy Easter. We are glad that all of you have come to be with us, and we hope that this is going to be a day of true celebration and joy as we gather in this place, and that we will all experience the Spirit of the living Christ as we come here. If this is your first time here, there should be a connect card in the pew rack right in front of you. There should also be a QR code, so you can use either one of those. If you're joining us via live stream, you can go to the address that you will see on your screen, and you can let us know that you have been here. If you have prayer requests that you need us to know, either put them on the cards or just write us, and we will be happy to respond to that. But we are glad that you're here, and we thank you for coming to be with us today. Tabby, you have an announcement.
I do, and I'm just going to stay right here in the choir loft. Actually, David, can you roll the video for us?
I want to talk to parents, grandparents, future parents, aunts, uncles, anybody who feels the weight and the responsibility of equipping an infant, a child, a teenager, a middle schooler, or a high schooler for life. Today and for the next few weeks, I want to talk about parenting. Now, when Sandra and I talk to parents about parenting, she always says something that gets everybody's attention. And for those of you who are in this season where you're raising middle school or high school students, you totally get this. Here's what she always says. She says, the days are long, but the years are short. And this is oh so true. I mean, on the front end, you feel like you have plenty of time, and then you blink and they're 10, and then they're graduating from middle school, and then they're gone. And you think, oh no, or you will think, oh no, are they really ready? Did I tell them everything they needed to know? Did I prepare them for life? And the answer to that question is always no, you didn't. You probably forgot a few essentials, some really important things, which is understandable because you were busy. You were busy parenting.
Okay, ooh, big stuff. So we are excited to be putting on this conference from Andy Stanley. It's called Parenting in the 21st Century. There will be a number of video sessions like that one, but that phrase has really stuck with me since I watched this a while ago, and I really feel like that. My little girl is 10, and I feel like she was born the other day. I'm excited for this opportunity for families of our church and just of our community to come and to invest in parenting. And it's obviously, as you heard, it's for all stages of parenting. It's not just for little kids. If you have bigger kids, if you have middle school kids, if there are kids in your life that you care about and you want to learn some more tools. We are also excited because we have two special guest speakers coming to be with us. We have Mo McClanahan, who's going to come and speak about internet safety for kids. And we all know kids are on the internet more and more and more. And it's good for us to equip ourselves with the tools to monitor our kids and to direct them in those things. And we also have Dr. Don Virus, who's a child psychologist here in the community, coming to speak to us about recognizing and addressing anxiety in kids. We all know that the last couple years have been rough on all of us, and especially the little ones. So just to learn some tools that we can pass to our kids so that the things they're dealing with, they know how to deal with. So the conference is going to be May 6th and May 7th. There is a registration available at our church website. There's also more information in the Welcome Center. If you want to check that out, please do. Or if you have any questions, email me at tabby@blacksburgbaptist.org. But I'm hoping to see a lot of people coming out to that. So thank you so much.
My eldest turns 40 this year. Who said that? I'm glad we got it all right with our parenting, aren't you? Yeah, there's something. I'm glad my kids aren't here this morning. Our litany of celebration, it will either be on the screen or it's in the bulletin that you have in your hand. Join me in this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
Make known his story among his people. Sing praises to God and tell of his wonderful works, for he is risen. Glorify his name, and let the hearts of those who seek him shout for joy. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Holy Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for your son's life and for his resurrection. Because of that, we know that not even death can conquer us. And so today we come into this place to celebrate the gift of true life. Help us, O Lord, to experience your grace, your joy, your hope, and all of the good gifts that come with this season, that we might be not only yours, but that we might live as yours from this day forward and forevermore. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. Our children can come forward for the children's time.
Come on. Thanks, Zach. Come on up here, guys. sing this song. You know it?
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Come on, sing it.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Good morning. Hey, why don't you all scoot away from the edge over there, and let's scoot closer over here. And Alea, can you sit down right there beside Andy? Sit right there, right there. And Bambo's going to be right here. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, come on. It's Easter morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Woo! Whoa. Hey, how about this? He is risen. He is risen.
Who are we talking about? Who?
Jesus.
Jesus. What does it mean, risen? He's alive again. That means he was what? Right, Isaiah? He was crucified on Friday night, and we were here Friday night remembering that. The room was dark. We were sad and but grateful because Jesus loved us so much. And we promised that today was coming, and here we are on Easter Sunday morning. I've got something for you. Oh, we've got some more kids coming. Good, good, good. Makes my heart happy. Good morning, girls. I've got, I guess it's the proverbial Easter basket. Do you have any baskets at home? Yeah. Yours is in the car. Some kid broke it. You got Emma home? Yeah. Cool, cool. So everybody had baskets. Yours too? Did the baskets have... What, Henry? Oh, when you came to the Easter egg hunt, broke your basket. We can get you a new basket. It was an accident, I'm sure. Things happen at church. They fixed it? Mom and Dad did? Good. Thank God for moms and dads. Did your baskets have stuff in it?
Yes.
But wait. Shh, shh, shh. So nobody just gave you an empty basket, did they? Please tell Pastor Todd about it. We'll correct that. I've got stuff in here. Everybody gets one, and you can't open it yet till I say open it. We got a deal?
Yeah.
Promise. Promise. Okay, everybody get one. Let's do this as fast as we can. Yeah, they're pretty tiny. You're right. They're kind of tiny. Tiny pasture, tiny eggs. Tiny pasture, tiny. Here you go, sweetheart. And give. There we go. Yeah. Actually, an adult saw my basket today and said, "Those are really little eggs." And I said, "Well, thank you." Okay, here we go. Oh, you got them. Come on. Everybody's going to get one.
Hey,
no. Oh, Tabby's basket wasn't small at all. Well, okay. Now listen. Shh, shh, shh. What do you mean? You shake it. Are you sure? Okay, open it. Everybody say thank you, Pastor Todd, for an egg with nothing in it. Okay, listen. Isaiah thinks he knows something. Oh, there was no way anything could fit in it because it's too small. Callie, why do you think it was empty? Did you hear? Because when Mary... No, skateboard, no. When Mary ran to the tomb was what?
Empty.
Okay, so could it be, listen, no candy for sure. Could it be that nothing meant everything? Yeah. Wow, right? Henry said, wow.
Yeah.
Nothing. Why was it so good that there was nothing in that tomb? Because
Jesus was risen.
Because it meant Jesus came back to life just like he promised. Lizzie, what? There was something in it. Jesus was in that tomb, and then he was gone. Why? Because he was alive. Oh, yeah, I know. I'll make sure you get something to go in that egg, I promise you. Think through that, Todd. Yes. God is alive, and Jesus now is with God the Father in heaven, and His Spirit is with us celebrating today on this Easter. Andy?
Something was in that tomb.
What was in that tomb? Air was in that tomb. Air was in that tomb. And Mary was so upset until she then saw Jesus, and He really was alive. And she went back and told all the boys, "Hey, I've seen Him. I'm not crazy. I've seen Him." And they said, "Well, we got to see this ourselves, Mary." And then they saw Him, and then others saw Him, and others saw Him. Jesus is alive. Boys and girls, if Jesus really was dead and then He was alive, is anything impossible?
No!
No! Nothing really is impossible. And somebody needs this message from you. You've got a friend or maybe even a family member who's just sort of sad or hopeless or confused these days. They need some good news. This is the best news ever. What's the best news? Nothing. Nothing was there. Jesus was risen. Do you think you can tell somebody about that? Oh my goodness. Now I know you've gotten plenty of candy, so I'm not going to feel guilty that these don't have anything in it. I want you to look at these and remember that Jesus was dead, then He was alive, and He walked out of that tomb, okay? Let's pray about it. God, thank You so much for Easter morning. Thank You for the resurrection. Thank You for keeping Your promises. Everything You say is true. Everything You say You're going to do, You do. God, help us to be more like that. Help us to keep our promises to You and each other. Thank You for forgiving us when we don't. And God, help these boys and girls that You love so much to look at these eggs and remember, better than candy is an empty tomb. Help us all to remember that and tell somebody about it. Thank You, Jesus, for being alive. Be alive in us. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Hey, love you. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Okay. Yeah.
Rise
Amen, amen. He's risen, folks. Oh, that we would all be like the little children this morning, right? Just so excited. Baskets and tiny eggs for everybody. Aren't we grateful for music and musicians? Oh, thank you so much. Justin and I rehearsed that guitar piece, didn't we? And you did it just like I taught you. You did it just like I taught you, Justin. No, that's not the truth. The truth is that Jesus is alive, and we're here to thank him. Let's bow together in prayer. What a privilege that alone is, to be here together and to pray together, to know that God is here. He was here first. We love him because he loved us first. We worship him because he is deserving of worship and he knows it's good for us. God, holy God, there is none like you. Nobody, nobody can do what you do. The one for whom nothing is impossible. God, we thank you for this resurrection morning. We thank you for the Easter's past, how we celebrated then. We celebrate again. God, you know that in between the Easters, we get bogged down with so many things, life in general, people including ourselves. We lose touch with the excitement, the celebration. We start looking for proof again. We start looking for evidence. We say, God, give me another sign and help me to believe. God, help us this morning as we gather to collect the evidence. Oh, so much evidence sitting in the pews, sitting in the choir loft. So much evidence that you are alive. And you've always been at work, and you're still at work. You're not finished with us, and we praise you this morning. May we discover something new about you today. Not because you owe us anything, but God, just give us something new that causes us to believe even more, to worship even more, to follow like never before. Please. And God, when we leave this place, may we be evidence of you in this world. Join me as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Some are known by great authority, for kingdoms as far as eyes can see. In royal robes they overthrow, they wage wars, they overthrow the weak, and call it victory. But my King is known by mercy. My King is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My King is known for the cross. My King is known by an empty grave. Oh, in all that he does, my King is known by love. This is Jesus. even now. Rejected with thorns upon his brow. What kind of king would leave the throne and make my sin and shame his own? Yet he gave his life for me. He gave his life for me. My king is known by mercy. And my king is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My king is known by the cross. And my king is known for an empty grave. Oh, in all that he does, my king is known by a love that welcomes everyone as his daughters and his sons, and no one is ever turned away. A love that welcomes everyone as his daughters and his sons, and no one is ever turned away. Cause my king is known by mercy, and my king is known by his grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My king is known by his mercy. He's known by his grace.
The next day, the one after the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
I've said it, I'll say it again. His disciples stole his body. It's that simple. You don't have to believe it. They just did what they had to do to support their myth. Except the idea of them taking the body is almost as ludicrous as what actually happened. Okay. You see this? This is a Roman seal. Now, it may not mean much to you, but when I use this to seal anything, whether it is a letter, a deed of property, or a tomb, it means everything. Whatever has this seal on it is under the supreme authority of the entire Roman government. So, these religious leaders who had this guy, who had Jesus executed, they were just convinced that his followers were going to steal his body and try to convince people that he resurrected from the dead. So they demanded that Pilate seal the tomb. That's where I come in. So I sealed it with the full weight of Caesar himself. Then, there's 16 of us standing arm's length apart surrounding the tomb, right? And so this idea that we dozed off and they stole the body. Do you know what happens to a soldier who falls asleep at his post? Best case scenario, he is beaten, burned. In all actuality, what would have happened is all 16 of us would have been executed. So no, as the story goes, we did not fall asleep and they did not steal the body. But I was paid good money to tell that story. How am I doing so far? You want to know something that is crazier than that story? That morning, the earth began to shake under our feet. And then this enormous being appeared. It doesn't matter how hard I try, I can't do it justice. All you need to know is this. When I looked inside that tomb, that man who I'd seen executed in the most brutal crucifixion I'd ever witnessed was gone. So why are the 16 of us still alive? I'm telling you the real story. The truth is, he wasn't just gone. He was alive. He is alive.
A Roman seal was a symbol of security, and it was also a symbol of death. If you had a Roman seal on something, it was about as secure as it could possibly get. A Roman seal would almost guarantee that something would be sealed solid until the one person who was authorized to break that seal could open it and see what was on the inside. But if the wrong person broke that seal and opened anything whatsoever, then you could almost be guaranteed that that person was going to be beaten to death. Why is that important? It's important because it reveals how determined those women were to get to that tomb that morning. It shows how determined they were to get to Jesus. They didn't have an opportunity to anoint Jesus's body for burial on that last day because the Sabbath came and interrupted everything that they were doing. Now they had gone back to the tomb and they were determined to do well by Jesus regardless of the cost. That tomb wasn't just sealed with a stone. It was sealed with a Roman seal. And those women were not authorized to break that seal at all, but they were going to break that seal anyway, no matter what. One way or the other, those women were going to move that stone, whether the Romans liked it or not. Those women were going to anoint Jesus's body for burial because their love for Jesus was greater than their fear of what the Romans might do to them. Or to say it a different way, Mary Magdalene and the rest of those women that went to that tomb that morning, they were women of courage and determination. Things may not have turned out the way that they thought they would turn out. They may not have turned out the way they wanted them to turn out. But that didn't stop those women from loving Jesus. Those women were absolutely devastated on that first Easter Sunday because those women had the same hopes and the same dreams for Jesus that the men had had for Jesus. They thought Jesus was going to be the new king of Israel. On Palm Sunday, the entire city came out to cheer their new king. He came riding in on that donkey, the ancient symbol of Hebrew kings. They thought, sure, that he was going to be sitting on King David's throne and he was going to raise an army and destroy the Romans once and for all. But now Jesus is dead. And nobody understood that Jesus had come to be a new kind of king. The first reason those women were so upset that day is that things didn't turn out the way that they thought they would. But then on top of that, those women were upset because Jesus was the very best thing that had ever happened to those women in all of their lives. Back in Jesus' day, if a woman was out in public, she was supposed to be quiet and not speak to anyone except her father or her son or maybe her brother. She was not supposed to be an individual who would be speaking to people. She was not even supposed to go to the temple unless she was escorted by a man. And when they got there, she could only go as far as the court of the women. And the court of the women was one court beyond the court of the Gentiles. It was the patriarchy's way of making sure women knew their place, and their place was not supposed to be any further than that one spot. If a woman went out in public and she was supposed to walk five steps behind her husband, if her sons were adults, she was supposed to walk five steps behind them. There was only one situation where a woman could walk at the front of the line, and that was in a funeral procession. If a woman's husband or her son or a member of her family died, then all of the women in the town would walk at the front of the funeral procession to the cemetery. Why? Because according to the book of Genesis, women created the fall by succumbing to temptation and by eating the forbidden fruit from the forbidden tree. And the penalty for doing that was the death of all people. It was the woman's fault. And so in Jesus' day, when someone died, the women of the town led the funeral procession to the cemetery as an act of dishonor. That was the one time they could lead, is when it was a dishonorable thing to do. That's the world that Jesus lived in. That's the world that he came to. But when Jesus started his ministry, he stopped all of that. He talked to women in public. He walked right beside them. He cared about them. He made them partners in his ministry. They worked just as fully beside him as the men did. Jesus was the very first person to make women equal to men in every way. Or to say it a different way, nobody ever did for women what Jesus did. So those women were determined to do right by Jesus because he had done right by them. If it meant breaking that Roman seal on that stone, then that's how it had to be. They were going to do that. Why? Because Jesus had broken the seal on those women's lives. He had set them free on more than one level. He not only made those women part of his religious movement, but he made them equal in the new kingdom of God, in the new kingdom of heaven. In fact, Jesus was going to call Mary Magdalene to be the very first God-called proclaimer of the resurrection. Those men, Peter and James and John, they were all still back there hiding in the upper room. They didn't want to be out in public. Somebody might kill them. Mary grabbed the women, and they all went to the tomb. And so Jesus called them to be the ones who would proclaim that resurrection. Nobody in history has ever done more for women than Jesus did. And those women knew that. But Jesus didn't just set those women free. He also set those men free. He took those poor, uneducated, mostly illiterate, distrusted, working class faces in the crowd, and he made those people the leaders of the biggest thing that the world was ever going to see. Those men that nobody knew and that nobody was going to want to be around, those men are still the same ones that we're reading about and talking about 2,000 years later. They were the leaders of that movement. Jesus changed all of those people. He changed all of their lives. But now Jesus is dead. And it was a devastating moment for every one of those people. Those women went to the tomb because they loved Jesus. They wanted to do right by him. They wanted to anoint his body, even if things didn't turn out like they wanted them to. They were going to anoint the one they had loved. One of the worst days of my life was May 8th, 1985. That was the day that my dad died. My mom and dad had come to North Carolina to be with Susan and me for a few days. He checked into the hospital to have some tests done. Things went wrong, and just a few days later, he died. 3 days after that, we were holding the visitation at the funeral home. About 2 hours before the visitation, my mother came in and she said, "Tommy, I want to go to the funeral home early tonight." So I got ready and I took her up there. And when we got inside, she pulled out this little baggie and had a damp cloth inside, and she started rubbing my daddy's lapel. So I asked her what she was doing, and she said, "I noticed that there was a little spot on his suit, so I wanted to clean it off before everybody got here tonight." She said, "I spent 38 years with your daddy, so I want him to look as good as he can when his friends come to visit him tonight, because that's what he would do for me." Those women loved Jesus the way my mother loved my dad, so they wanted to do something special for Jesus. And that would have been great if it hadn't been for the fact that when they got to the tomb, Jesus was gone. Instead of a dead body, they found an angel sitting there. And that angel terrified those women, because if you look at the Bible and you see the times when angels show up, angels are usually messengers of death. Those women had seen all the death that they wanted to see that week, but here was an angel, and so they expected a message of death. That's when the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said." Just a few minutes earlier, the biggest problem those women had was who was going to roll the stone away so they could get to Jesus' body. But now Jesus is gone and they're terrified. Then later that night, they were all together in the upper room. They had the doors locked because they were afraid of the Romans and they were afraid of the Jewish officials. All of a sudden, Jesus is standing there in their midst. He has passed through a locked door. All of a sudden, Jesus is with them and he says, "Peace be with you." But instead of being happy and having peace, the Bible says that they were terrified all over again. In fact, they were so terrified that Jesus had to step in and stop them. And he said, "Why are you so afraid? And why are doubts rising in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is me. Touch me and see." In other words, they were so terrified. Even seeing Jesus face to face wasn't fixing this for them. Jesus had completely changed these people's lives, and yet they're terrified of their friend. Why were they so afraid of him? Well, The Bible says that they thought they were seeing a ghost, and it can be a bit unnerving when you're seeing a ghost. I used to work in a funeral home. I used to put people in the caskets. That was just part of the job. But if I'd gone in the chapel and somebody was getting out of one, it would probably have made my colon quiver just a little bit. But this wasn't just anybody. This was Jesus. Why were they so afraid of Jesus? Well, I could be wrong on this one, but I think they were afraid because, number one, dead men aren't supposed to get up and start walking around. But number two, it can scare the fire out of you when Jesus shows up. Back a few years ago, I baptized a young man that was a college student here. He had had a very colorful life before his baptism. And the truth of the matter is he had a fairly colorful life after his baptism. He made his mistakes even then, but he came to church every Sunday morning. He enjoyed being here, and then he graduated, and he went off to start his career. But then 2 or 3 years later, he called me on the phone, and he said, I go to a men's Bible study every Tuesday morning, and this morning I was sitting in the study, and it seemed like the Holy Spirit just descended on that place, and it sat right down on top of me. And I said, well, that's good. What did you learn from it? And he said, no, it's not good. It was terrifying. I said, okay, it's terrifying. What did you learn from it? And he said, it was as close to hearing God's voice as I think I'm ever going to come. And I know that God's calling me into the ministry. And I said, well, good. And he said, no, it's not good. He said, I've got a good career. My wife's got a good career. I don't want to be a minister. I said, well, join the club. I didn't want to be one either. He said, so why did you do it? And I said, I did it for the same reason that you're going to do it. God called you to do it. And I knew that I would never be happy if I didn't follow God's calling. And that's the same thing that it's going to be with you. He said, Tommy, I'm terrified. I said, well, congratulations. Being terrified is one of the surefire signs that you've been with God. That's what almost always happens when God shows up. He said, you're actually enjoying this, aren't you? I said, oh, I'm having a blast. I said, did you ever think when I was getting you out of the drunk tank at the county jail that God was going to call you to the ministry? He said, no, I didn't, and I'm not sure I'm going to do this. I said, yeah, that's what we all say, but when you get ready to pick a seminary, let me know and I'll help you. He said, I'm glad you're enjoying this. I said, me too. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. That was 10 or 12 years ago. Now that young man is a pastor of a very successful church, and he is truly having the time of his life, and he wouldn't trade that call that he had for anything. When Jesus comes to your life, when you suddenly realize that he is alive and he's got a plan for your life, that can be a terrifying moment for you, but it can also be the start of everything that can really matter in life. When those women went to the tomb that morning, the biggest worry they had was who's going to move the stone so we can get to Jesus. They weren't worried about breaking a Roman seal. They were worried about moving a giant rock. But when they got there, that giant rock had already been moved. And what's interesting about that is that stone wasn't moved so Jesus could get out of that tomb. If God could bring a dead man back to life, if a dead man can pass through a door and stand in a room with people that he loves and start talking to them, then he can certainly pass through a rock to get to the world. That stone wasn't moved so Jesus could get out of that grave. That stone was moved so we could get into it. Those women had to be able to see that that tomb was empty, that Jesus was indeed gone. They had to be able to see that the impossible was truly possible when God is in the story. Those women had to be able to see that not even death is going to have the last word if God is part of the story of life. That stone was blocking those women from experiencing the miracle of life. So it had to be moved. And that leads to a very important question. What's our stone today? What's keeping us from experiencing the truth of the resurrection? What kind of seal is holding us back? What's keeping us from having the fullest life that we can possibly have? Maybe it's pain, maybe it's resentment, maybe it's depression or anger or loneliness or fear or worry or betrayal. Maybe it's addiction or grief or divorce or sickness, or maybe it's choices we made in the past that we wish we hadn't made, but we did. Maybe your stone is the fact that you know that you need Jesus Christ in your life, but you just have never had the courage to actually step out and make the choice. Your soul is sealed by fear. We're afraid of what we're going to have to give up if we actually decide to follow Jesus. Or maybe your stone is that you've been treated badly by other Christians along the way. You've had a good dose of bad religion, and now it's hard to actually trust that what you're experiencing here is the truth and that it's real. I don't have any idea what your stone is this Easter Sunday, but what I do know is our God is in the stone moving business. That's what the story of Easter is all about. It's about a man who has the ability to move the stones in life. That's the wonder of the story that we come here to celebrate today. God moves stones and he puts life where dead stuff used to be. I have a friend who went to a church in the middle of nowhere to do some counseling with a pastor who was pastoring a church that had fallen on some hard times, and this pastor wanted some advice from somebody on the outside to try to help him decide what he needed to do to try to bring some life back to his church. This friend of mine and the pastor was standing on the front porch of the church kind of looking out over the community when this van pulls in and two adults get out and 12 teenagers get out of the thing. So the pastor asked my friend asked the pastor what this was, what was going on, and the pastor said, "That's our youth minister and 12 of our youth. They've been on a mission trip up in West Virginia. They've been there about a week and a half. They went up there and they met two other youth groups up there, and they've been building a building that some of the people up there are going to use as a food pantry and as a mission center to that very impoverished part of that state." My friend said, "Which one is your youth minister?" He said, "It's the one with the beard." He said, "Where did you find him?" He said, "We found him in prison." He said he was in prison for selling drugs. He became a Christian while he was there. The prison chaplain led him to Christ. When he got out of prison, he started volunteering with a group of ministers that were meeting at the high school, and they were ministering to the high school youth there. And we saw what he was doing, and we were so impressed with his story that we went to him and we offered him a job. Said he couldn't get a job anywhere else because he was a felon and nobody would hire him. But we saw what he was doing, and so we have offered him a job, and he took it, and he's grown our youth program from one youth to 16 youth in a year, and 12 of them went on this mission trip. When they got through talking, my friend went down to the youth minister, and he said, "You look tired, brother." He said, "I am totally exhausted, but it's the best tired I've ever been." That's what happens when Easter comes to your heart. It takes the broken places and the stones and the death, and it fills them with what the Bible calls joy. If we'll let God move the stone from our heart, he'll turn it into the best joy that we have ever imagined in our life. And that joy will bring the hope of tomorrow. And that joy will bring us life that we never imagined. Scripture says, "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, and yet filled with joy." Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Holy God, I thank you. I thank you that you have come to bring us so much in our lives. There's deadness in all of us. There's stones inside our souls that keep us from seeing what we really need to see. There are people that bring stones to our souls that keep us from experiencing what we need to experience. There are people in the faith that have mistreated us and have hurt us and made us distrust that this faith can truly be real. Lord, help us to believe that you can move our stone this morning. Help us to believe that you can come to our lives and you can show us what is the truth. And you can bring that truth to us, and that truth can breed joy within our souls, and that joy can help us to step out in life and experience it in ways that we have never experienced it before. Help us have the courage this morning to say, Father, come into my life today. Live inside me. Fill me with every gift that I need to be the person that you have always wanted me to be. I know I'll never be complete without you. I want to be complete, Lord. Move any stone that's kept me from knowing you. And help me to be alive from the inside out because I walk with you. Come, Lord Jesus, and make us the people of Easter today. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
See the place where Jesus was laid. For the sins of the world, the Lamb had been slain at Calvary. Death declared its final amen. All creation trembled, thinking this was the end. But see the light that's dawning on that third day. I could almost hear the Father say, let the grave be open, let the stone be moved, let the glorious praises silence the tomb. There's a resurrection where death had once been. Let the grave be open and let the world look in. There's a heart that's lost and alone. There's a soul in the night, desperate for hope that Jesus sees. And he's calling you to come and be free, to simply let the grave close fall at your feet. Can you see the light that's dawning? Today is your day. It's time to arise. Oh, child, come alive. Let the grave be open. Let the stone be moved. Let the glorious praises silence the tomb. There's a resurrection where death had once been. Let the grave be open. Let the world look in. If you are in Christ, the old has passed away. Behold, new life has come. Death no longer has the final say. It's time to arise. Oh, child. Stone be moved, let the glorious praises silence the tomb. There's a resurrection where death had once been. Let the grave be open and let the world look in. Let the grave be open.
come here today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ for the first time, we'll be here at the close of the service and we'd ask you to come. If you don't know how to do that, we'll be happy to help you. And if you do, then we want to talk to you about the next steps, even baptism and being part of our church. If you want to join our church, we would love to have you. If you'll come, we'll be here at the close of the service. We'll help you with that. Whatever we do, we're leaving this place of worship and celebration, and we're going out into the world. And our call is to be an Easter people and to become the church as we go out there. Let's go and let's try to shine forth what we've experienced here today. And let's believe that our God moves stones and He'll move it through our lives to the world that's around us. Now may the Lord bless and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and give you peace this day and every day, now and forevermore. Amen. Please come back and join us next Sunday. We'd love to have you.